Okay, it's the Great Debates. This is our program. Steve and Dave are here. I'm here.
What's up?
It's time to play a debate.
We're going to do some nice play debating.
I don't want to play. I want to jump right in.
You want to do a real debate or a play debate?
Real. Let's jump right in. We'll, by the time we're done, we'll know whether it was a play debate or a real debate.
Okay, I'm going to put some time on the clock.
Okay. Now, wait, do you know how to shut off your alarm when
yeah,
it
this is
comes
an ongoing
time?
Problem.
I think if I swipe up, okay. All right. I've been trying to get the perfect three. Hey, edit. What's that podcast where they're always saying, edit this out? Oh, it's My Favorite Murder. Edit this out, but the guy never edits it out. It's very funny. Anyway, okay, Steve Healy taking the pro. This top submitted by listener, we think Zach H. That's X-A-Q. We're pretty sure that to pronounce your name, it's Zach H.
Anyway, Zach.
Thanks for this Blame great
your
top.
T-shirt.
4 minutes on the clock. Continents are no longer necessary.
Okay, I'm taking the pro?
Yeah.
Do you want the pro?
No.
Okay.
I'll take the pro.
Great.
Dave
Great.
King taking the pro, starting the clock over. Continents are no longer necessary.
This is, what do we possibly need continents for? It's an abstract concept to begin with. People can't even agree on what the continents are. Is Australia? Is it Oceania? Depending on where you go, people have different borders of each continent. The only thing I can possibly think of is like the Olympic flag represents the five continents at the time. Who cares? It's an outdated idea. But you could even go so far as to make a case. Many people have made good cases that we don't even need national borders anymore. That we should eradicate national borders. I won't go that far. But what possible? I think there'd be a lot of benefit to getting rid of the idea of continents because we're still stuck in certain ideas and preconceptions about what European people are, what African people are, what Asian people are. These we'd be better off getting rid of these names and donut. We got some feisty girls in the studio today. I apologize. Of course, continents, not only are they no longer necessary, but they're doing us harm.
Okay, totally wrong. National boundaries are artificial, and we don't really need those. I don't want to say that we should eliminate national boundaries, but I think that there's a lot of value in continents as a concept because we can talk about the people of Europe, the people of Africa, the people of Asia. Those are helpful ways to create a visual image, talk about continent-wide problems. The problems of Mozambique and the problems of Namibia, they may have some connection. Let's talk in a continental term about what we can do about the African continent. Let's talk about North America, South America. How is South America different from North America and why? These concepts are interesting, exciting to explore, helpful in having conversations about the world. Continents now more than ever.
I don't understand how the national boundaries are somehow artificial, but continental borders aren't.
Because the continental border you can see it from space.
Certainly not true of
agree
about half
some,
of the continents.
Agree,
and their
there's
borders.
Some fuzziness for sure.
You're damn right there is, and there's actually no fuzziness about national borders. No one, with the exception of maybe you could say Palestine, Israel, certain places where there's territorial borders. Who argues?
I think most of the world's problems have come from fuzziness. Well, not most. A significant problem over history has
We're
been the fuzziness of
here.
National borders.
You could just replace continentalism with regionalism. We should talk about the region of Mozambique and Namibia or whatever you said.
Okay, that region is called Africa. What's wrong with the concept Africa as a continent? Furthermore,
there's nothing wrong with it, but you just don't need it at all.
Furthermore,
and again, I go back to why are you lumping Mozambique? If you're doing it for geographic reasons, then we should talk about these things strictly in geographic terms. And weirdly, I don't even think Mozambique and Namibia are that related geographic. I'm not sure what they
you're
actually
putting
share
them
that much.
In you're assuming the worst as usual, but in fact,
That's
talking
right.
about issues that affect an entire continent can be very positive. Look at the European Union. These guys are look, we all live together here on this continent.
It's a great example of an actual institution that is not a continent, that is a united federation.
But what gave them the idea?
Countries.
What gave them the idea? But the continent itself. They were like, okay, we're here on this continent together. Let's work together.
If you think that the EU only came together because there was a continent that preceded it somehow,
I absolutely think so. Yeah,
that's absurd.
Of course.
the countries that were...
What unifies those countries except the continent?
Well, actually, what binds them more than their geography, or as much as their geography, is the marketplace. There are actually, if you look at the EU, a map of the EU, there are actually countries that are not part of the EU that are more geographically related to, like, France and Germany. There are some countries that are closer to France and Germany that are not members of the EU.
But the dream of a unified continent is what got them there.
I'm so happy to be done with this topic.
What?
I gotta tell you.
I was loving it.
Who cares?
Who cares about anything, man? If who cares with their standard, we're never going to do anything.
You're right.
Dina, talk to us.
I'm going with Dave on this one.
Wow. And I didn't even care.
I think you're...
Oh, Healy. Oh, that really sucks for Healy. I can feel
sucks
it.
For, he's mad.
I think you're overcorrecting.
Kind of a bullshit
after
argument.
The accusations
you're like, platitudes
of...
about, like, it's interesting to learn about continents.
Yeah, it is.
And then you're like, national borders are completely arbitrary.
It's fun it's to like, think bro. About the whole continent together. It's great.
But half of your argument was just saying the names of continents and then being like, what are the people
it's
in North
fun
America?
To think what's about that? These continents. Africa, what's going on? It's all the. It's interesting that Africa contains both Mozambique and Namibia. That's weird and wild.
It's not that wild. I gotta tell you. It's really not.
You've just gotten used to it. You've been on Earth so long.
I guess maybe. Maybe that's old, the problem. Is I've just gotten used
the
to
The day
it.
You get over the fact that Mozambique and Namibia are on the same continent, you just come a little bit closer to dying.
Yeah.
Get us out of here, man.
Let's go into host chat. What do
thank
you say?
Fuck.
I'd like to talk about a little video game called Crazy Taxi.
Ooh, what's this?
Yeah.
I don't know about Crazy Taxi.
Crazy Taxi was a game that was on what system, Dave?
Dreamcast?
Was it a Sony Dreamcast or Nintendo Dreamcast?
That's why I wouldn't know it.
It wasn't Nintendo 64. It was a Sega Dreamcast.
Okay, and the game was you were driving around a sort of San Francisco-like city delivering people. I remember one of the places they had to go was the popcorn store.
Sure.
And the heliport. And the game had kind of an irreverent sense of humor. And Dave was as good at this game as I've ever seen anybody be at any video game. You were amazing at it.
It's very kind of you to say.
Yeah.
When did you play this game?
In college.
And I have to say...
We had a Sega?
Yeah, thing. Upstairs.
Now, I am going somewhere with this eventually.
Okay,
but say a little bit about Crazy Taxi.
Well, sadly, you're right. I'm not a video game guy, but it felt during the time as if I had been put on the planet to play Crazy Taxi.
It was weird.
I couldn't even... I can't describe to you why... I mean, I have decent hand-eye coordination, but there was something about this game... I was great.
Well, sort
okay,
of
where you
I was going with this is, have you considered being an Uber driver?
Ooh.
Is it possible the skills translate? You were amazing at a simulator of Crazy Taxi.
Right.
Now, all of a sudden, there is a company where basically, or Lyft, it doesn't have to be Uber, but there are companies where basically anybody can try out their skills as a
real-life Crazy Taxi
livery
driver.
Man.
Right.
And are you not curious to enact in the real world what you were so excelling at in Simulacra?
Do you want me to answer this seriously, or what are you looking for here?
I don't know. sure, start with seriously, and if I'm bored, I'll tell you.
Cool.
The short answer is no.
Yeah.
I have no desire. I don't think the skills translate at all. The way Crazy Taxi worked was that in, like... Now, the games lasted a long time when I played because I was good.
Yeah.
So, in like an hour of play, you would pick up like, I don't know, 140 customers and deliver them to their thing. Even just like talking about Crazy Taxi, the sensations of it are coming back to me, and it's all in like your right thumb.
Also, I remember like
the way I feel like, and your right index finger, like... Everything you did was in one hand and took place very quickly. It has nothing to do with actual... I mean, you know that,
right?
But
it
doesn't actually translate.
Do you think in our lifetime we will get to a system where there are car... You can be driving the Crazy Taxi... A real-life car in much the same way that you played Crazy Taxi.
Maybe, but the...
And will that be
the
fun?
The other thing about Crazy Taxi, which I'm sure you remember, is that you were encouraged to go off the road and drive through fields.
It wasn't called normal
and
taxi.
Buildings. Yeah, it wasn't called normal taxi.
Anyway.
Yeah. Wow, what made you think about this?
I was thinking about, you know, being in a Uber or a Lyft or whatever and being like, you know, Dave was obsessed with a game that was basically this. It doesn't seem very fun to be the driver of an Uber or Lyft.
Can I be maybe, clear about something?
Yeah.
I played it a lot,
yeah,
but it wasn't like it wasn't even like I loved playing it. It felt more like it was a calling. It was like, yeah. I'm good at I don't know what happened, but people would watch me play.
I feel like you would often, like, you, the games would go on so long that you would be getting bored, but your commitment to, angry even, but you couldn't fail. You wouldn't screw yourself up on purpose. Would see the game to its conclusion.
Yeah. It felt sadly like it was the thing I've been the best at in my life.
That is so weird and wild. Yeah.
What do you think you are the best at? What is the skill you think you're the absolute best at? I put this to both Medina and Healy.
Great question. Something that comes to mind is sort of like not stand up, but like lightly humorous public speaking, like a wedding toast thing.
You're a great officiant at a wedding I once attended.
But it's actually kind of a bummer because I think I'm not like hard funny enough to be a stand-up.
Uh-huh. Oh, I think, but you know, if you really applied yourself, you could be.
Yeah, I think that's also true.
Dan, what are you the best at?
See, what's hard about this is like with Dave, you kind of like pointed out what he was the best
it's hard
at.
To
it's hard to identify
yourself.
That for yourself.
Well, you are great at setting up and running a professional grade fireworks display.
Especially for accomplishments here. Yeah, I'm a good pyrotechnician, I think.
You're really good at like slowing the pace down, going like correcting people who are going too fast or too slow, I think.
Moderating.
I'm often impressed with your pace management.
Pace management.
Yeah. Okay. It never seems like you're rushing or like slagging.
Interesting.
Which is cool.
Yeah, even maybe that's the thing I'm the best at.
Is just like being
pacing myself.
Pace, moving.
There's got to be something better.
That's a good one.
I like pacing myself.
Pacing yourself is good.
Wait, what were you going to say, Dave?
I don't know, man.
Should we debate?
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why we're here.
All right, cool.
That'd be good. I've got a topic.
Yeah.
This one from listener Chris S.
All right, very cool.
Chris has a topic. I think Healy's taking the pro.
Oh, yeah.
He wants to win this one really bad, I think.
I don't care anymore. It's all just a scam.
Okay, good.
It's more about you feeling that you're accused of Healy bias, I think.
That's totally untrue.
The Twitter people were coming
for
you.
Get over that.
What is the scam? Who are we scamming?
I'm just kidding around.
What?
I'm just kidding around.
Okay.
The scam.
The topic. The scam topic.
Yeah. We have a little time here.
We do?
Yeah. One thing that drove me crazy, I'm sorry, about Crazy Taxi, was the soundtrack. It only played like 8 songs, and it was all Bad Religion and Offspring.
That's right. It was Offspring.
It was the same.
Yeah.
Over and over again, and you had to listen to that and you kind of, I guess you could have muted it or something, but you needed to hear the customers going like over here. And God, those songs. I mean, those bands are whatever, but like to hear
of all
only
bands,
that,
Offspring is my least favorite band.
It's tough.
I think
it's...
Offspring is the worst band.
Mm.
Wow. Is that true?
I mean,
producer Mark, what do you think?
He's nodding.
He's nodding.
They're tough. They're tough to listen to over and over again.
It's what I, you know, old people when they talked about what was bad about rock and roll, they're actually those things.
Also, it wasn't the hits. It wasn't Keep 'Em Separated.
Which whenever I hear that song, it makes me want to drive my car off a cliff.
Wow. We really tapped a nerve here.
So you're good at hating the Offspring.
Yeah. Okay, I've got the top.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Listener Chris S., thank you. Healy taking the pro. Aquariums are just as good as zoos.
I'm Steve Healy. I'm taking the pro. You should know, listeners, that as a young man, I was an intern at the New England Aquarium, first in the education department and later in the water quality department. I was mentored by Brian in the Tropical Gallery. I have a strong pro-aquarium bias, but I think, without question, the aquarium is just as good as the zoo. Couple of reasons why. Indoors, air conditioned. The zoo experience, when you really get down to it, you're out in the hot sun. It smells terrible. Most of the animals are duds or they're asleep. The aquarium is a home run every single time. Everybody likes looking at an aquarium. It's fun to see an octopus and a shark and a penguin and an otter and a million different kinds of fish swimming around. You're getting your money's worth at the aquarium in a cool, just the environment itself is so chilled and relaxed. It's like being underwater. It's a much more transformational experience than walking around a park that has some sad animals and cages in it, which is what a zoo is.
So wrong in so many different ways. Let's start with the basic, like what actual animals you get to see. Mm-hmm. In the zoo, you get to see animals of a much larger variety. One point, which I'll make off the bat, which should just win the argument, is that most zoos have aquariums in them. And you could see 95% of the animals that you'd see at an aquarium at a zoo. And so they're basically like, most zoos are aquariums plus other animals, which is like, how is that not better on its own? But let's imagine a zoo without an aquarium, just to even the playing field a little bit. The scope of animals that you get at a zoo is so much more spectacular. Very large, very small. You get animals that are both scary and adorable. But here's the real point I want to make. You actually touched on the sad caged animal experience of going to a zoo. And I actually believe that this is one of the virtues of the zoo. I actually very seriously contend that the act of going to a zoo is so much grander, and you use the word transformative. I believe that, like, when one goes to a zoo, one is really faced with the question of what it is to be human and what it is to be animal in a way that one does not get when one goes to an aquarium. There is something sad about zoos. You get an actual sense that these animals do not like to be penned in. You get the disappointment of, they're supposed to have a show in a half hour, but the animals are sleepy today, or they don't like where they are, so they're not coming out. And they're not, I mean, so often you see kids who are kind of disappointed by, like, the lion isn't out today. And you see animals, I mean, like, oftentimes.
So your argument is the zoo is better because it sucks. Very ingenious.
It's not that it sucks. Yeah. It's a better.
I'm impressed with your sophistry here.
It is a more complicated day.
That's what people want when they're out with their family, a complicated moral experience.
Well, the question is whether an aquarium
is just better, the aquarium, because of the reasons you're saying.
Well, the question
is, do you want to walk through a field that makes you force about the questions of pain?
Here's the thing, it's not about that. It's not necessarily a negative experience. What I believe that, like, if you go to most zoos,
yeah,
what you will be left with is a sense of, like, a newfound respect for animals and a desire for them to be, like, in their natural habitat, for them to not be in zoos, for them to be as free as possible, for us humans to not be treating them the way we are. And when you go to aquarium, yes, sure,
the zoo is good because of how much you won't like the zoo and how much you want
to. And by the way, there are zoos where you can have an incredible time, where you can have a more immersive experience, where the animals are treated better. I believe that, like, conditions at zoos across the board is probably improving for animals. We're becoming more and more aware of how animals should be housed in zoos, and that is also a point in zoos' favor. But the experience of going to an aquarium is so removed, it's almost, you can't really get a sense of what the animals' lives are like. They're almost like moving, or it's almost like they're wallpaper in a certain way. Whereas when you go to a zoo, you can actually smell
completely disagree.
You can't hear the noise a fish makes. All of your senses are engaged when you go to a zoo, for better or worse, or for better, I would say. You can actually, I mean,
crazy if you don't think an aquarium has a strong smell, which I find to be kind of pleasant. It's like a seaside tidal. It's very intense. The lights are usually very low. The sensory experience of going to an aquarium is like going deep underwater, whereas going to a zoo is more or less like going to a park, except there's a cage with, like, a baboon in it who's not happy.
Well, it's obviously not just a cage with a baboon in it in a zoo. I mean, like, if we're talking about world-class aquariums versus world-class zoos, I think zoos have a huge leg up. If you want to compare whatever, San Diego or Indianapolis Zoo to Long Beach or Boston Aquarium.
Let's do San Diego Zoo to Monterey Aquarium, right? Okay. Top of the line for best. If you want to go to average, by the way,
yeah.
I think your argument's going to get weaker and weaker because the average zoo is totaled. Like almost perverse, but like
perverse.
Yeah, it's like it gives you a deeply unsettled feeling. The animals are like pacing back and forth. Their things are too small. It smells weird. It's laid out in a weird way.
So well, like if you want to be strict about it, the average aquarium is actually like a tank that a guy has in his house.
Which is usually like pretty compelling, and you're happy to look at
it. It's not better than a zoo, dude. It's not better than like going and actually interacting with animals and seeing how they eat and how they behave. We're talking about aquariums, institutions. You are.
I mean, realistically, you know the topic.
Aquariums are just as good
as
zoos.
You know the topic is aquariums, the institutions against zoos, the institutions.
I don't think it is, but because I'm feeling benevolent, I'll agree to those terms.
You're reaching some new heights of dickishness lately. I love it. The fans love it. Okay, we're at the San Diego Zoo. What's the experience? Hot? We have to park? Pain in the butt?
San Diego is gorgeous. It's right by the ocean. It's not necessarily hot.
Now we're walking. There's like a tram going over. You have to pay extra money to go in that. There's like churros. Around you,
great.
Maybe
you
see
don't
a
like
giraffe.
Churros?
It's not that fun. Their churros kids are
around,
upset. They're having to walk. They're having a bad time.
Oh, there's churros around. There's desserts. There's all kinds of restaurants. There's foods. Families are having a good time. People are engaging. There's a nice cool ocean breeze. It's disgusting.
No. You want a nice cool ocean breeze? Take yourself to the Monterey Aquarium. You're by the seaside in a beautiful building. The inventions of an architect to make an aquarium are so impressive. Then you're walking by tank after tank of wild, truly strange space alien level creatures. You're seeing their lives way more up close. You have a window into their life. You're seeing them build their homes, interact with each other. There's a huge tank with tons of different fish swimming together. At the zoo, it's very rare, by the way, to even see two different kinds of animals together. The animals are very segregated.
To try to imagine, like, what is the most interspecies action you've seen at an aquarium? Like, what actual point are you trying to make here?
New England Aquarium, you could easily be looking at a tank with 300 different kinds of fish.
I understand that they occupy the same space, but you're trying to paint a picture of, like, crabs are hanging out with fish and they're touching each other. That doesn't happen.
What's so great about that is it's created. First of all, you're going to see the tide pool tank, which is going to have crabs crawling all over, horseshoe crabs and whatever, and, like, you're going to see how barnacles interact in that environment, whatever.
I mean,
it's like you're seeing the whole ecosystem.
Horseshoe crabs and barnacles.
Dude, what kids?
Then, like, what?
Another
is
great
going
thing about the aquarium,
you,
kids
Go
can
to the
pick
beach.
Up stuff. They can touch things. They can hold things. It's tactile.
You know, you're actually like pointing me towards, I think, an important thing here, which is that like so much of what you see in an aquarium, you could see at a tide pool, at a beach, in actual nature.
Same with a zoo. Zoos are twisted. Go to Yellowstone and see some buffalo. I understand that it's not possible for everybody to do that all the time, but the zoo is like a twisted, cruel prison where they've hauled every creature from all over the world. In the aquarium, the animals are perfectly content. They're fine. They're living well.
How do you know that? I mean, here you've really just like, I feel like you've just illustrated just how ignorant about animals you are.
To the contrary.
To assume that fish are happy because
they prosper.
They're walking,
I mean, how are we
going to
measure it? They prosper
tank?
And live longer and are healthier.
I don't think you have any actual evidence to back that up, that fish and animals that are kept in an aquarium actually live longer and are healthier and prosper more in an aquarium than they do in a zoo.
I think animals at a professional-grade aquarium live longer than they do in the wild.
I'm sure you think that, but that's only because you interned there and you were given this assignment. And I don't think that that's the measure of what we would call happiness, even if we feel that animals experience happiness in a different way than humans do. I mean, do you really think that like a shark that's swimming around an aquarium is happy? Do you really think that whatever kind of, like, I don't know what kind of bullshit they've got at aquariums these days, but some sort of blowfish is feeling like it's living its best life if it's being stared at
by
an eight-year-old kid?
Yeah, it's like, I'm eating, I'm doing great, I'm in clean water, this is terrific.
I'm going to wrap up. Go ahead.
Well, I feel like you did a great job of making my case for me by talking about the tortured moral experience of visiting the zoo, which I 100% agree with. The aquarium, on the other hand, is a great immersive, educational, exciting, fun experience. Every kid is excited to go to the aquarium. The zoo almost always disappoints, smells bad, hot, terrible, makes you feel weird. You don't like it. Zoos are worse.
Ask any kid. Do you want to go to the zoo or the aquarium? They're going to say the zoo. End of argument.
Sense of the
done.
Future is often a little
you're done. That's it. You want to go to the zoo or you want to go to the aquarium? They're going to say the zoo. I'm done. Why? Because it's better.
The interesting thing about this topic was, as worded, aquariums are just as good as zoos.
Right.
Uh-huh. So they don't have to be better.
True.
Well, they got to be equal.
At least as good. Equal or greater than.
Medina, what's going on in your little head?
I
spill it.
You know, it's interesting. We were at the Sally and I were at the obstetrician's office.
Yeah.
And we were having a conversation, and he just like interrupted the conversation that was happening and looked at me and said, "I'm sorry. I'm noticing that you have a huge head."
To you, the
to me,
dad to
me.
To be?
Yeah.
Huh. Was that related to the did the sonogram like, or anything?
No, he was just saying like, you know, this is here's a feature, a genetic feature that might be
cool. Okay.
Passed down and could become an issue.
A doctor's job is to notice.
To notice these things.
To notice
oddities. Well, large heads are, to be real, they are often markers for certain things. And so it is good to know that a fetus's large head may just be a large head and nothing more.
I think he's mostly thinking about the delivery.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. Okay, so what did we think about zoos?
I was vamping for time. I think I'm probably going with Healy here.
Yeah, it feels
like
you
made
a
weird
avant-garde
argument.
Why didn't you just say, like, zoos have tigers and stuff? Zoos are easy to make the case for zoos.
God, nothing drives me more crazy than when you go, like, why didn't you just say, and it's one of the things I said.
You immediately went with, like, zoos are morally troubling. That's why they're
bizarre.
Great.
God damn
what?
It.
They got elephants. Are you crazy?
You know what?
This should have been a home run for you. It's weird.
Sometimes I try to I want to entertain and make people think as much as I want to win. And if
that's
I'm gonna,
not, I know that's and not true, and you're on record many times as saying
it,
all you care
right.
about is winning.
Damn it. It stings. It stings. But it was fun.
I had a great time.
Which do you like better, the aquarium or the zoo?
Oh, I think aquarium.
Aquarium is
yeah.
so great.
Way much
yeah.
But we're older now.
Yeah.
Wiser.
Although, I think as a kid, I found the aquarium kind of tedious but cool. Or maybe just monotonous, but cool. Maybe not tedious. Loved the Monterey Bay tide pool zone.
That's a hot scene.
That's a great hang, right?
That's a good hang.
When you're reaching in there for starship,
I've got a
and whatnot.
Brief story about the Monterey Aquarium that I think is cool.
Yeah.
I went and I was writing a pilot about aquariums, and I went and took a tour there and talked to all the people that worked there. It was awesome. But when they were building the Monterey Aquarium, there were all these marine biologists who are working Monterey Bay. If you drain Monterey Bay, it's like the Grand Canyon, this deep, awesome canyon. Mm-hmm. And one of the marine biologists, they're like, we're pulling up all this awesome stuff. We need to show it to the world. So one of the people, one of the biologists, her dad was, I forget if it was Hewitt or Packard, one of those dudes.
Mm-hmm. Hewlett.
Yeah,
Packard.
Exactly. And he went down and he was like, okay, you can have, you know, $50 million or whatever to build an aquarium. And I'm going to come down, as you start the plans, I'm going to come down there every Monday. And if I don't like what you're doing, I'm going to stop it immediately. And if I like what you're doing, you can keep going. So they would just work like crazy. Every Monday, they'd show him what they had. And every Monday he came down and he'd look at what they had. Okay. And it went just the clear statement of what he was going to do made them work so hard and make sure everything was going to be awesome. And he lived up to his end of the bargain and was like, kept going. Okay.
But
kept
he
the checks
had no
coming.
Notes or anything.
No notes.
No, no notes.
Because they worked hard enough.
Yeah.
There I like go. That. I like that a lot. I'm going to remember that anecdote. Thank you, Healy. Guys.
Somehow that feels insulting.
Yeah, it felt pretty caustic, but I liked it. Oh, hell yeah.
like I said, inspiring, though.
What's going on?
I'm trying to end the episode here.
Oh, yeah, that's always tough.
Trying to wrap
so
us out.
So hard.
Enjoyed my time. Guys. As you can probably tell by episodes lately, we use a lot of listener tops. So please write to us, tweet at us. We're Great Debate 69 everywhere. And we love hearing from you. We love your letters and your tweets. So are they called letters or are they called emails?
Let's call them letters.
I like letters
better.
I like
letters, correspondences.
We love your letters.
Yeah.
So thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week. The Great Debates is produced by Mark Caracello. The theme song was composed by Christopher Knight. The debaters are Steve Healy and Dave King, and the podcast is moderated by Dan Medina.